This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joy podcast from LGBTQIA+ community radio station, Joy 94.9. For more information and tons of other podcasts, head to joy.org.au.
Welcome back to Joy 94.9. You just heard from the Human League.
Yes.
Now, what song was that one? I hadn't heard that one.
Oh, that
before.
Was the things that dreams are made of, basically. But yes, obviously not one of the more.
You're too young to know that.
I just wanted to show off that I was the youngest person in the studio. I knew it.
Hold on, our next guest might be insulted by that. He might be younger than
that. I know that album very well also.
And speaking of our next guest, we have Spiro from the Melbourne Queer Film Festival with us today, the program director. Welcome to the show, Spiro.
Thanks for having me on again. It's fantastic to be back and in the studios of the Pride Centre as well for the first time.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing to be in here. But and we'll be open to public soon. But at this stage, you know, it's a pre-opening that we've managed to get access. So
yeah.
Now, Spiro, before we as you said, you've obviously been here a lot. So you've been at the Melbourne Queer Film Festival for now quite a while.
Yeah.
Now, this year it's a little bit different, isn't it? Because it's actually on later in the year than it normally is.
Yeah, this is the first time.
That we've changed the dates and everything.
Yeah, okay. First time in November 18th to 29th. I think the upheaval of COVID last year also gave us an opportunity to, I think, kind of rethink about the festival and, you know, sort of, I guess, you know, re-energize it and think about, you know, when it's on in the year. And it was sort of an opportunity, really, that we sort of took up and thought maybe this is time to, you know, think about where we are in the festival calendar. As we know, March is a jam-packed month as it is. And so I feel like going into November, we're sort of, you know, kicking off summer. We're leading all the festival events. It's going to be really exciting, actually.
So is it a permanent move to November then, Spiro?
It will be if it works. Yes.
Okay.
Let's say yes.
Let's go with the yes.
Absolutely. Yeah,
and so you said about, obviously, with the disruptions that we've all had with COVID and everything else. Now, a lot of the festivals, especially film festivals, went online and on demand and everything else. You said you had an opportunity to refocus and redefine. So what can we expect differently this year then?
Look, I think we're still, like a lot of festivals are going to be grappling with that idea of having a sort of hybrid festivals, and I think we're still going to be maybe doing a little bit of that. I think another opportunity that we found doing festivals under COVID was to have a presence online meant that we were reaching out to viewers that we never had before, you know, whether we're doing national screenings. Also, there's a lot of vulnerable people in the community that for one reason or another can't actually get to the cinema, so suddenly we were reaching out to them and we're finding new audiences. So I think, you know, ideally, and even, you know, even personally for me, you know, MQFF is about that in-cinema experience and being there together, all of us watching films. But I think it's also great that we can also provide that opportunity, even if it's going to be a smaller presence in November than it has been in the past.
Okay. And so I suppose, like you say, slightly different, you know, but what are the main highlights for this year then, basically?
Look, I think for us also...
What have you managed to find for us?
Yeah, well, look, I'll tell you what, I think for us November is going to be us trying to get back to a MQFF normal as we possibly can. So we're looking at our opening nights, our gala events, our closing, having those parties. And I think for me in particular, I think my focus is going to be about that sort of celebration about us potentially and hopefully being able to be together again.
Yeah, and I think that's the key, is that that's what was also really great about the festival, is that it brought our community together and people 100%. Loved it. And there's a lot of people that wouldn't go to other events through the year, but they love the film festival and meeting friends.
Absolutely.
And you know, meeting at the bar and the parties have always been huge.
Totally, and I think for me, I'm really sort of focused on that idea of let's try to bring that back in some way that we can do sort of safely and everyone having a really good time again, because it's, you know, really important. And interestingly, when we had our March festival, our smaller version, that was still in cinemas but also online. But a lot of the people that were coming back to the cinemas was their first time back in cinemas since MQFF the previous year. So for a lot of people, it's a really important event on the calendar.
And obviously now it's in November now, Spiro. So has the program been finalized or are you still putting all that together at the moment?
I'm still watching stuff. I've confirmed some films. I can guarantee there will be movies and they will be playing in the cinema. I'm definitely knee-deep in festival programming. I mean, the great thing about it, I have to say, one of my big concerns from last year, and I think a lot of festival programmers around the world had the same panic, was, are there going to be films? And very fortunately, what I've realized is that there are. And, I think that amazingly, film production has managed to find a way to work through COVID. And that's a win for us, because I feel like, I've been seeing some really great movies. And obviously there are films that are, inadvertently referencing the pandemic in one way or another as well. But there is definitely a lot of films out there. And, I'm really relieved and excited about that.
Yeah, I was going to say, are you seeing any consistency in themes for essentially a huge number of people, everyone that has just come out of lockdown? Are people kind of exploring similar ideas in their work this year?
They are. I mean, there's some films that, and it's kind of really interesting watching him as a viewer, where you personally, you almost feel a little bit triggered when you see it come up in it. It's almost too soon in a way, I think. And I think it's going to be interesting to, in a couple of years' time maybe. And I think the smart filmmakers are going to be the ones that maybe explore the pandemic in more metaphorical ways and maybe not in such a direct way as well. Yeah. Some of the ones that have done it in a direct way have done it in a really inventive way, and some of the ones that I'm looking at, I'm like, yeah, that's really cool, but I think that's going to be the interesting thing.
Yeah, I must admit, as a viewer, I'm sort of probably a bit reluctant to hit the screen and watch movies that are a little bit too close to home at the moment still, we're still going through a few things.
Give me open spaces. I want everyone outdoors, huddled. I mean, one of our most popular films in March was a film called The Man with the Answers. And looking at that movie, it was a road movie. They were traveling around Europe and Greece. Yeah. It was outdoors. It was beautiful. Of course that's what you want to see.
Exactly. Yeah. The things that we can't do at the moment.
Totally.
And do you know what? Our film reviewer, Stephen A. Russell, and he even mentioned again today, was a film that you had in March that's just been released in cinemas. The film festival, and congratulations on this, is that you've had some crackers in the last few years,
which
a few months later or a year later, they show up on the major circuits.
Yeah, no, thank you. I mean, it's, I'm sort of really proud of the festival and the programming, and I kind of like to dig in really deeply, and there's some really good stuff out there, and it's nice to see, audiences coming to it. If you build it, they will come.
Who said that? Oh, that's all right. And you're talking about obviously still going through your selection process. Now, has that, I suppose things would have changed, besides the fact that you can't travel. Yeah. Have you noticed any sort of changes from previous years when in looking at this, in what you're seeing or how you're selecting? Or
look, I think, again, I'll talk about the positives. And I think one of the other things that's happened for me as well is that it's forced, me as a programmer in particular, to connect with programmers around the world in a different way that we might not have done in the past. So in the past, I would have gone to festivals overseas and met some people. But, for example, there's a group of us that's formed a North American Film Programming Alliance, and, some of the Australian programmers have joined that, and we meet weekly. And it's, if anything, it's just been a great opportunity for us to regroup and just kind of go, what the hell's going on? And sort of talk about some of the ideas that we're thinking about our festivals, because all of this is very new and we're all making it up as we go along, essentially. And it's been amazing to have that support out there. And I think it's just made us reach out in a kind of more meaningful way, which, has been great.
I'm actually going to throw the cat amongst the pigeons here, is that the main film festival, you're our community's film festival, but the Melbourne International Film Festival, they're putting so many queer films out these days in the last year or so. Does that make you get a little bit nervous thinking, hey, hold on, you're stepping on our toes?
Look, I think, to be honest, when I first started the job, I was a little bit like that maybe in some ways, not just MIFF, but a lot of the other festivals that do it. But I think what I realize is that there are so many queer films out there that it's, you can still program something really exciting and amazing and not worry about the fact that someone else is showing something that you might have liked. And actually also, we do sometimes reprogram that movie in MIFF anyway. We find there is obviously a crossover with audiences, but our audiences are maybe different enough. So, you know, I will sometimes, you know, show films at MIFF are screened and put in our own. So I think there's enough room for us to all coexist very happily together.
Right. So I'm going to ask another question.
Wow.
Have you got wow, and I'm not supposed to be talking. Have you got your opening night film? Have you?
Look.
Oh, yours is spoilers, don't you?
I'm working on it, let's just say. You know?
That's not well, an answer.
It's, look, I'll tell you what. Opening, closing Centrepiece Films, every year it's different. Like sometimes I will see a film and immediately I'll go, oh yeah, that's going to be opening night, no doubt. And then there's some years where you're sweating it to the last possible minute and you're like, what is it going to be? And it's sort of putting a lot of things in considerations. It's maybe one of those years this year, but it reveals itself as a program kind of develops. And, you know, it just sort of really depends. It's different every year.
Mm. I feel as well with David's throwing his cat amongst the pigeons comment about MIFF, that it's actually maybe not such a bad thing if we're seeing more queer films in these other major festivals as well. Because for people that might not necessarily have been involved in the queer community beforehand or seen films at the MQFF, this is potentially an opportunity for them to have an avenue into a new festival. They might see something that's really interesting and want more, and conveniently. Absolutely.
And I think it's amazing.
Later in the year.
Yeah, yeah, totally. And it's always interesting watching, because I love MIFF and I love going to MIFF and watching queer films at MIFF and then watching that film at our festival. And I think the energy is really different in the audience, and the experience is incredibly potent and different when we then screen that queer film at the audience. So I just think even as an audience member, your experience is going to be different anyway.
Yeah, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
All right, so when is it?
November 18th to 29th, which is very exciting.
Yeah,
so
and very soon. You better hurry up and make up your mind what the
look at what that opening night film is.
And when can we expect the program? Are supposed to be out? You know?
Program launch is, am I meant to tell you?
Oh, is it a secret?
Sorry. It's like October anyway. I better double check where I'm allowed to confirm the dates.
Okay, no,
I can tell you where we're going to be screening, which is Acme, Cinema Nova and Jam Factory. So we're at the three main venues again, which is really exciting. And it's great to be back at Acme again, because obviously Acme was closed last year. Yeah. So it's really nice to be back there again.
And the big question, when are you moving into the Pride Centre? Because you're part of the family here.
Yeah, well, we officially got our, you know, signed on the dotted line this week, the 1st of July. So in effect, we're here now, but I think our offices, like furniture and stuff, are coming in next week. So you know, we'll be hanging around.
Okay, so we'll see you in the corridors.
Completely.
Always lovely to see you, and can't wait for the film fest, and especially this year that it's been such a tough time. And I like the idea of it being in November.
Thank you. Yeah. I think it's going to be a real celebration this year. So I hope everyone can get to it.
Look forward to it. So we've been talking to Spiro here from the Melbourne MQFF. You're on Joy 94.9 Sunday Arts Magazine.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community radio station, Joy 94.9. For more podcasts or to support Joy by becoming a member, donating or subscribing, head to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.